Chris Yearland is an energy analyst, managing director of EE Intelligence. I haven't spoken to him for ages. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Good morning to you and your listeners on this chilly morning.
Well, I think chilly is not doing it justice. Wow. It is very, very icy out there. When this happens, do you panic? Do you think, oh gosh, now I'm going to start having to do all these interviews all over the show because we're heading for load shedding? What's the story?
Well, look, I think, no, I'm not panicking, but I do believe that things are pretty tight at the moment. You know, when there's this cold spell, demand for electricity sort of spikes, and that puts pressure on the system. And if we reach a stage where there isn't enough generation reserve, we start eating into some of the emergency reserves, which are the open cycle gas turbines, right, the diesel, and the water in the pump storage schemes. And when those start getting empty, diesel tanks or the water dams empty, then the chances of load shedding become very real. Things are tight at the moment,
right,
I've been told.
Yes.
Very tight.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we saw there was that they could do a 13,000 in terms of what is out of the system. But now, anyway,
yes.
So I did read that. Can I just, it's very clear to me, if we have a week of rain in Joburg, that
yes,
we have load shedding afterwards, which tells me that the solar, the private solar, commercial, whatever it would be, is taking a fair amount off the grid. That is what I assumed. Is that assumption correct?
Not entirely. Look, solar resources are spread across the country. Of course, there are major solar resources in the Northern Cape.
Right.
And in various parts of the country, not only in Northern Cape, in the Free State, in Limpopo, you know, even in Gauteng, those are what we call utility-scale systems. These are large systems. And because of their geographic spread, and also the fact that they are located in very sunny parts of the country, means that, I mean, the whole country is not under cloud at any one time.
Mm.
And so you have this spread and diversity.
I see. So I'm looking at it too parochially in a way.
Yeah, if you may, I mean, we may have you know, a lot of rain in Gauteng over summer, and we did. That doesn't mean to say it was raining in the Northern Cape or in the Free State or, you know, all over the whole country. So yes, one's got to look at it in total, and the better your geographic spread, you know, the more you're mitigating that risk of you know, of having load shedding. In other words, there's sun all over the country. Mm. There may be parts of the country that are cloudy.
Right.
The other thing to note is, yes, there is also rooftop solar PV. These are not utility-scale systems. These are on commercial buildings and on houses. And those are concentrated in the urban areas like Cape Town and Johannesburg and Durban and some of the major cities. But they also spread over farms and dwellings all over the country. And again, this brings some diversity into the system. It does have an impact when there's severe cloudy weather over Gauteng, for example, or over Cape Town. It does have an impact, but it's not as big as you think.
Right. And in terms of cold weather, so in Gauteng,
yes,
we blessed mostly during winter even to have sunshine.
Yes.
How efficient is the is solar production in winter?
Yes.
How relevant is the temperature versus the sunshine?
Yes. Look, the temperature affects demand for electricity.
Right.
When you have a cold snap, people want to switch on their heaters, and there's a surge in demand for electricity. When it comes to the supply side of electricity, in winter, as you say, we generally have cloud-free days in winter. And I'm just looking out over Johannesburg right now, and it's pretty clear, even on this cold morning. So in that case, solar is going to be very helpful. The same thing applies at night when there is no solar. The wind picks up at night. So generation from wind power is very helpful, in the evenings, in the evening peak. And of course, battery energy storage is very helpful in the evening peak and in the morning peak. On the supply side, things are actually perhaps even a little bit better in winter on the solar and wind side. But when it comes to Eskom generation, even also on the supply side, there's much more supply in winter. Why? Because Eskom do less maintenance in winter, so that there's more generators that have been properly maintained during summer that is available for generation in winter. So the supply side is better for a number of reasons. There are other reasons as well. So, for example, the large dry air-cooled power stations, Eskom's coal-fired power stations like Medupi and Matumba and others, they actually perform better in winter because there's more cold air for cooling. In summer, when it's really hot, they don't have enough air cooling. Or put it this way, they have the air, but the air is very warm because of the ambient temperature. And because of that, the power station cannot operate at full output. So they have to cut back during the hot days. So what I'm really trying to say is that although demand for electricity is higher in winter, supply of electricity is also higher in winter. And if you look at the history, load shedding, the first stage 6 load shedding that we ever had in South Africa.
Right.
December 2019, in the middle of summer, in the middle of winter. So I just wanted to dispel
I think that's important.
Winter is always a bad time.
Right.
The point is, supply side is better in winter.
Right. And let's just quickly talk about, we don't have a lot more time, but I do want to talk about this issue around municipalities and the fact that Eskom is saying that they aren't being paid the money required. If that is the case, you could hardly blame them for being concerned.
Absolutely. Look, it's a deep problem. Municipal non-payment of electricity is putting Eskom at risk. It's putting the municipalities at risk. It's a massive problem. And municipalities have difficulty in collecting revenue from their customers for a number of reasons. Not only affordability is a problem, of course, but also management skills and metering and billing and a lot of these things. So municipalities are in bad shape financially, and this is impacting Eskom severely. And most of the power outages that are experienced in Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni, and in municipalities around the country, are not caused by Eskom generation shortages any longer. They're caused by problems on the distribution network, overloading, theft of cable, illegal connections, steel theft, copper theft, aluminium theft, transformer theft, burning down of transformers due to overloading. A number of reasons are causing power outages at the local level, nothing to do with Eskom generation, but it can be due to Eskom distribution and municipal distribution.
Right. How is the city of Joburg in terms of compliance?
City of Johannesburg is in very bad shape. City Power is facing major financial issues. They were in arrears with Eskom to the tune of about 4 billion rand. They have reached a settlement with Eskom now, and they're going to be paying off 3.5 billion rand in arrears over the next 4 years, according to the settlement. And that puts a lot of strain on them. A lot of municipalities have actually reached settlements with Eskom in respect of their arrear debt, only to default on their settlement agreement within the next few months. So it remains to be seen whether Johannesburg has actually got the financial sustainability that will enable it to not only keep its current account up to date, which is part of the deal, but also repay the arrears of 3.5 billion over the next 4 years. That remains to be seen. But the history of other municipalities is that many of them break their settlement agreement within a few months because they just don't have the money.